Hey, you hear that? No, you don't, because this is Noise Canceling, as in the Noise Canceling Podcast, where we talk about all things tech, gaming, and entertainment. I am your co-host, Cherie L. Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag, and today I am joined by...
Gerald Lynch, executive editor for Tech Radar.
Henry St. Ledger, home cinema editor for Tech Radar.
And I'm Matt Phillips, Tech Radar's video producer.
All right, so we've got a lot of things to talk about, but first things first, let's talk about the big question. And this big question is based on the trailer for the new Lord of the Rings game, which is going to focus on Gollum, aka Sméagol. A favorite quote of mine from that story is that it will feel like, quote, maneuvering a truck with two flat tires, says the developer. So today's big question is, which minor character do you want to see star in their own video game?
I can't believe that the developer actually said that about their own game. Like, what's the context there?
Well, it's a description of the sort of internal battle for Gollum's psyche. You can make decisions based on what Gollum would do, what Sméagol would do. So there's a lot of back and forth chatting between them. So I think that's meant to describe the challenge they're preventing players with, but it's also a fantastic image. This is going to be hard.
Like the incredibly minor Lord of the Rings character, Thomas the Tank Engine, so minor that you actually don't ever see him.
The minor character is the car in the back of Fellowship of the Ring.
I think I'd probably go for something that would really annoy people, like Jar Jar Binks.
Like, oh my God, I hate you.
and the whole game is you outrunning like internet fans of Star Wars, internet troll Star Wars fans who are out for like your constant demise since you were born back in 1999, like a Resident Evil style game, like Alien Isolation, where you're Jar Jar Binks and you're trying to sneak around Comic-Con, avoiding all of the Star Wars fans who are out for your blood. There's my pitch.
Sounds like a great mobile game. A lot of microtransaction sort of scope in there. I like it a lot.
Actually, I would take your Jar Jar Binks, but the spin I would do is the Darth Jar Jar take that's been running around on the internet for a while, where Jar Jar is actually one of the most powerful Sith Lords out there.
I like it. The big question has just morphed into which Jar Jar Binks game would you make? But I'm okay with it. But
I would quite like to see a game with like a Witcher game that put Jaskier in the lead role.
Which one's Jaskier?
Yeah, the bard.
Jaskier's the bard. I want to play the slightly rubbish bard trying to get coin for his performances and following around the Witcher who doesn't really want him around. Maybe it's a dating simulator, go a bit fanfic. Like, I'm here for it.
In my head, it was a Guitar Hero spin-off.
Ooh. Ooh. I think that's better, so feel free to cut out what I just said from the recording.
Well, no. Absolutely keep it in. Absolutely keep it in. Maybe it's both.
Yeah, keep all of that. And then for, like, the battle segments, it would be, like, a Guitar Hero type of deal. Yeah, no, I'd take that.
Yeah, so my idea was a long, long time ago, back on the GameCube, cast your minds back, there was a Matrix game made that centered around Ghost and Nairobi, I want to say, who were very minor characters in the Matrix. I think they were just extras. I'm not even sure they had speaking lines unless they were in the extended version. But I want to see a game based around the guy who protects the Oracle, because he was cool and that fight scene was cool, and I want more of that. And apparently vague Matrix spin-offs are in fashion, so why not?
Vague Matrix spin-off, you might have a better chance of that than you think at the moment, what with the Matrix 4 on the way.
Exactly. We can tie it in if we want. Why not? We'll do a cash grab. We'll tie it into the license for the Matrix 4.
All right, so I have two. One would be a Star Trek game where you play as a red shirt trying to survive. You would be recruited to go on missions. You would try to talk your way out of said missions. And if you are not successful there, you have to try to stay alive.
I like that.
And I'm trying to decide which Star... You know what? It'd be the original. It'd be James T. Kirk Star Trek, because that's where red shirts just meet their demise the most. Like, whether it's against Khan or something like that. The other idea, you would play as Ian McShane's character in John Wick, the dude who runs the hotel.
Ooh.
Like, it would be a whole origin story, how the hotel got established, the secretive families around it. Like, it'd be, yeah, so that would be the other one.
I mean, I'm imagining a whole, like, hotel management sim, but for assassins.
Yeah.
Like, what are the unique obstacles you face as the proprietor of an assassin hotel?
That came to my mind. Hotel tycoon.
Yes, literally.
You got to hire staff that aren't too creepy, but also in keeping with the theme of the hotel. Yeah, I like it all. Yeah. I like it.
Attract assassins, but not die. It's a difficult balance.
Someone's clogged the toilets up again with bullets.
Classic. Classic assassin move.
Someone has improperly tried to dispose of a body. Bring in the lie.
We need a seminar on proper body disposal, which is very expensive.
All right, so this week's winner is going to be Henry, because I need that dandelion game.
I need more Guitar Hero in my life. Why did they stop making Guitar Hero?
Licensing and the cash grab of having to buy new instruments every game.
Yeah. I want a bard, I want a harp peripheral. You know, I think a lot of people would drop $60 into that.
Definitely. I would.
Do you remember the short-lived DJ Hero?
Oh, yeah. That looked so cool.
That was so good.
I wanted to bring that back. I really, really, because the, like, mixes on that were amazing.
The best one was they brought out Guitar Hero for the DS, and it, like, plugged into the back of the Nintendo DS.
That was
and
my
you had
favorite.
The, like, so good.
Oh, riffing on my DS on the school bus. Loads of friends.
All right, so... Let's talk DC fandom. Like, another virtual event taking place in this the year of the worst year ever. But we've got some bright spots out of that. So we've got our first peek at the new Batman movie, which a lot of people, including myself, were a little skeptical about, because you must be skeptical about a Batman movie before it typically turns out well. Arkham Knight's Suicide Squad movie and game, and the 4-hour Snyder cut. So let's just jump into this.
Cool, should we take it from the top then?
Let's take it from the top.
I quite liked the Batman trailer. Now, I've got a lot of love for the director Matt Reeves. So if you're not familiar with Matt Reeves, he's the guy behind like the Planet of the Apes remakes recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the ones with, like, what's his name,
James Franco,
Serkis, Andy James Serkis, Franco, yeah, Andy Serkis. Now, those Planet of the Apes films had no right to be anywhere near as good as they are.
Very
and I
true.
Think they're, like, one of the most underrated blockbuster franchises of, like, the last 10 years or so. Now, if anyone can take something a bit silly, which, you know, Batman inherently is, however hard they try to make it, you know, however dark they try to make it, it's still, you know, a posh lad running around beating people up in it, which just, you know, don't happen, right? But Matt Reeves has got a great eye for emotion and for action. He's able to make a film that's, like, moody, but also has a lot of heart in it. I think if you think of, like, special effects films as well, it's really difficult to make them, like, wondrously emotional. The Planet of the Apes films, 3 hours of CGI monkeys having little chats, right? And I love them.
having little scrapes,
you know. And he does such a good job with them. Obviously, that helps with, like, Serkis' great performance, and the effects work there was great as well. Now, if you're going to tell me that there's going to be someone who's going to go and take on, like, a dark but, like, grounded Batman tale, I think he's so well placed to tell it. He knows how to handle a blockbuster, but he knows how to handle it with a bit of spirit and all of the trappings of, like, these effects laden films that we need these, or that we go to see these days, if not need. So I've got a lot of hope for the Batman, if only for the director involved.
I'll jump to the other side then and say I am skeptical. I think from what I've heard, you know, this film is not done shooting, and that a lot of the footage in the trailer was kind of all they have at this point. They're going for quite a unique look, right? But certainly for, like, Batman himself, and the Batmobile is quite, you know, new looking. It's not kind of the typical look for the Batmobile and stuff like that. But it seems like, and DC have a habit of doing this when they're making movies and games and everything, they are trying to cram every little bit of Batman lore into this movie as they possibly can. There are hints to everything and everyone in this trailer. And so that makes me a little skeptical, a little worried. I would love kind of a reset and a back to a grounded Batman with one villain who isn't necessarily supernatural in sort of the way they are doing things. But I don't think that's what this is going to be.
Counterpoint, can we have a roll call for the cast, right? Robert Pattinson, Batman, great actor, underrated.
Great. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
It's a shame about Twilight, but he's a good guy. Paul Dano as the Riddler, right? That's fantastic, right? You got John Turturro as Carmine Falcone, the mobster. Perfect. Jeffrey Wright as James Gordon. Jeffrey Wright is the architect of the Westworld show, if you remember that. Perfect. Colin Farrell as Oswald Cobblepot, aka the Penguin. Who knows how that's going to turn out, but Colin Farrell is always good to watch. Zoe Kravitz as Selina Kyle, Catwoman. Again, I can't think of anyone better place to play her at this moment in time. Andy Serkis as Alfred, the butler. Not so sure about that bit, to be honest, but, you know, he always puts in a performance, didn't he? Peter Sarsgaard as the district attorney. I mean, there's a lot of names in that.
Is Andy Serkis playing it live action, or is he doing like CGI motion capturing Alfred?
He's going to be like this little, like, oh, Master Wayne, my precious.
He's typecast now.
Yeah.
I am excited to see that a vampire has actually turned into a bat. Hopefully his skin will not sparkle in the daytime. But I did like, I especially appreciated the scene where the goon was like, who are you? And he just starts wailing on him, because as we all know, Batman does not kill, but he will maim the hell out of your ass. So that is true to form. And I am excited to see what they mean by they're going to focus on the detective aspects of Batman. So, like, I think the Riddler is a really good choice for that, because you do have to think, even with that card that you saw in the trailer, somebody's already solved the riddle. Like, we'll see what that means. If you saw the card, it was like, what does a liar do in death or something like that? And the answer is, he lies still. So we'll see how that all comes out.
I'm intrigued. I've been hurt too many times by DC, which kind of brings us nicely on to the Snyder Cut being 4 hours long, 4 hours of a not good movie. Why are they doing this to me?
It's 4 more hours than I gave the original cut.
Did you not watch the original?
No.
Oh, man.
The trailer was still 4 minutes more than I wish I'd given that movie.
No film needs to be 4 hours long, let alone one of the worst films ever made being given the opportunity to be an extra 2 hours longer than it already was. Like,
well, it's going to be 4 1-hour parts. Released on HBO Max, and then he did hint that they're thinking about international audiences. What that means for us in the UK, who knows? We'll be able to watch it somehow, but who knows how? But yeah, I mean, there is a certain sort of morbid curiosity. You know, how do you give somebody $10 million? Was it $10 million they gave him in the end to create new CGI scenes to rework a film that was very poorly received with some of the biggest A-list actors in the world in it? How would you go about that? I mean, I'm a video producer, and that idea of re-editing a film like that and creating new scenes for it is just horrific. Why?
So my thinking is, right, so the backstory here is that Snyder gets pulled off the original Justice League movie halfway through, right? Joss Whedon comes in, finishes it up. There's kind of chit-chat that it was forced out quickly before the Warner Brothers and AT&T merger happened, so that executives could get their bonuses, right? So it was kind of this big rush job to get it out for financial reasons. I think Zack Snyder was having a quite difficult personal time in his life as well.
Yeah. Mm.
So, you know, there's lots of stuff going on that you can say, okay, cool, maybe this film had things stacked, the odds stacked against it before it came out, right? But let's dial our memories back to Batman versus Superman, when he had nothing against him, right? When he had the biggest budget in the world, the sort of masthead for a film that is a license to print money, right? Batman versus Superman is balls. Is balls.
Please don't.
That film is
please
balls.
Don't. Right? Please don't.
Martha! Martha!
Well, oh my God. Do you bleed? We'll find out. Like,
So like, if like he can't get it right when he had everything going for him anyway, you know, like it's a moot point.
I think the argument is that Man of Steel and Batman v Superman had a direction that they were going, right? Whether or not you like it or you don't, thematically, they are similar movies. They are dark, they are gritty, they are somber. And then, you know, people say, and whether or not you agree, I don't know, but people say you can see the differences in Justice League between when Whedon was directing versus when Snyder was directing, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
And the, you know, Whedon's version of the film is much more upbeat. It is much more colourful. It is, you know, Superman giving all these weird quips and the big bright suit and stuff like that, which isn't the way that Snyder wanted to take this, evidently. And so at least now we will see the unfiltered version of the film, right? The kind of compromised version of the film, whether or not you think it's better or worse.
See, the problem is, it's already compromised, right? You've got half of... He can't go back in time, pull this set together, especially now with what's happening with the world in terms of COVID and productions being halted anyway. All he has is what was left on the cutting room floor and then the gaps that were filled in by Whedon in the first place. So whatever way it goes, he's got to get out of jail card. It's a compromised vision regardless.
100%.
Because he can't go back and remake what couldn't be done at the time, you know? So,
well, I mean, the argument there is that they're giving him $10 million to do with CGI budget, right?
$10 million is nothing. $10 million these days gets you like a stick man walking along a black and white background, right? Like the CGI budget for films these days would make bloody Jeff Bezos scared.
Yeah, you know? I'm sure.
So like $10 million is a drop in the ocean. I'm of the opinion that this can only be worse than how it came out.
Well, yeah, and but part of me is curious. I mean, morbidly curious. Like I said, I will definitely be watching it. I am kind of more excited, in a weird way, that it is for 1 hour parts, so it's almost like a mini series. I think that idea suits me better. Like if they'd announced the Batman, the Robin Pattinson film, that was going to be that, and I'd seen that trailer, I'd be like, oh, brilliant. Okay, we're going to get, you know, 15 episodes, hour long each, that are going to build this world. But the fact that they're trying to shove so much in is not suiting me well, I don't think. But there we go.
All right, let's talk about something that actually gives people hope. The games.
Games didn't look good.
Some hope. Oh, some hope.
Come on, Gerald. Come on, man. Why are you like this? Why are you like this?
I know. I'm down on it this year, right?
Oh, we're flipping again then, Gerald. You're down and I'm up on this one. Here we go.
We're flipping again. I'm sorry. I'm down again. It's not like me. But I loved the Arkham trilogy, right? The core yes. ones, not the one that WB Montreal made, the Origins, which was buggy and, you know, had its problems, had its potential, but had problems because it was rushed out and stuff.
Yeah, that first fight was amazing. But then after that,
kind of, it's a bit of a retread, wasn't it, right? Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Knight, up there in my favorite games of all time. Why? Because I get to be Batman, right? No one wants to be Robin. No one wants to be Nightwing and his other mate, who I can't remember the name of. You know, there's a place for Batgirl, but like, I just want to be Batman, right? And like, well, you can't, can you? You're his mate. You're the Bat Kids. No one wants to be the Bat Kids.
Oh yeah, yeah, I do. Yes, the hell I do. I would have walk around with as Batgirl, just kicking ass and taking names. And speaking of ass, I definitely want to be Nightwing, the best ass in the DC universe. Yes, I most certainly do. I'm disappointed that the Robin in question is Tim Drake and not Damian, because if it was Damian, I'm all for Killer Damian Wayne. All for it. And yes, I want some Red Hood action. What's wrong with you? Who wouldn't want to be crazy Jason Todd? I can't believe you took that hot take. That's the wrong hot take.
So I think my other worry is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is going to be more like a live service game. Is that correct?
So my understanding of it is it's a single player focused game that you can play co-op if you want, which is interesting, versus the Suicide Squad game that got announced, which very much seems to be a live service game, kind of tackling the same audience demographic as the new Marvel game that's coming out, which is kind of going to be this game where you build loot and you kind of keep playing over and over and over again with your friends to keep that train rolling.
Like, I heard that Gotham Knights is a sort of game where, you know, you slap the Riddler around the face and then, like, the number 24 pops up above his head, you know, because he's dropped 24 hit points. It's one of those sort of things, right?
I'm not sure. I mean, from the limited gameplay that we saw, enemies definitely had levels, which is a new thing to the series that hasn't come in before. So yeah, I mean, there are certainly hints of these kinds of things happening, but I think there's a hardcore sort of single player. I want my games to be single player, and I want an in-depth story, especially when it comes to stuff like Batman. People really care about the story. Yeah. So I think they'll try and perhaps service both audiences. How well that'll go, who knows?
We've got the perfect trilogy in the Arkham trilogy. So, you know, I'll just close my eyes to the rest of it.
My only beef with Gotham Knights is, like, there are other members of the Bat family that are not being touched on, namely Batwing and Cassandra Cain and Batwoman. If we're going to play the Bat family, give me all of the Bat family. Like, you damn right I want Lucius Fox's kid walking around being techie Batman, just teching the hell out of things. And you damn right I want Cassandra Cain just assassinating the things with her and Damian Wayne. And they didn't give me Damian Wayne, so I'm still tight about that. But Cassandra Cain, Damian Wayne, just two assassins, just murdering people, maybe taking Jason Todd along for a murderous little vigilante session? Yeah, I'm all about that.
That's what microtransactions are for. I can't wait to pay $7 for them.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get all them and DLC 9 months on, possibly, I hope.
But the cool thing about this is that we're finally gonna see the Court of Owls in some major story modes in the Arkham series, because this is part of the Arkhamverse, as they are calling it. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of those baddies. And of course, like, if anyone thinks that Batman is truly dead in this game, you come on now. Stop it.
Spoiler alert. Potential spoiler alert.
They've had 4 years, Matt.
Fair enough.
And with that said, like, there were some wild phones that got launched today, well, got leaked or saw or spotted, whatever you want to say. So LG's not giving up, and I respect it. They are launching the Wing, and so it's like it's another take on a dual screen. So the phone, like, does it flip out? Like, how does this work? Did anyone see this yet?
Yeah, so it's like, it's on like a little pivot, right? And you get like half a screen stuck to the side of your main screen. Right?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, indeed. Yeah, it's pretty unclear.
Listen, I love innovation. I respect LG for doing this. I don't know if I need it. Like, I actually prefer their Think phone, where you just pop another phone into, like, you basically get two phones in one. I prefer that take on this, but I guess LG wants to take flight, so to speak.
I think it's an interesting time in phones, right? And I think somebody like LG could come, like, I think foldable phones are definitely the future, right? And I think we're all going to have foldable phones in 10 years time. How those phones will fold is the interesting thing, right? And the thing that nobody really knows yet.
And everyone's doing differently.
Exactly. Yeah. And so why not? Kind of, I mean, this, it looks ridiculous. I'm looking at the screenshot right now. It looks ridiculous. They haven't sold me on it initially, but why not experiment? You know, when we're in this time of change, why not try something different? And maybe it will be the thing that captures everybody's sort of interest when it comes to foldable phones. And, you know, if you can make it significantly cheaper because you've got 1.5 screens instead of 2, maybe that'll attract some people. I can imagine the boardroom meeting where they came up with this idea and decided to go ahead with it. Whether or not it was the right idea to go ahead with, I don't know, but I can see how it happened.
LG's, like, phone division, there is someone there who must know where all the bodies are buried, right? Because every year there's some crazy idea that no one is going to buy that they put out. So there was that, like, that phone that was basically just two phones stuck together a year ago. I can't remember what that was called. It was, like, dual screen, not a fold, but, you know, dual screen, and then you'd clamshell it together. They did that modular, was it the G5 or G6, that you had all these little components that you could plug into the bottoms. You had one that improved the camera, improved the battery, all these, like, sold separately extras. About 5 people bought them. Like, who keeps signing this stuff off?
I'm finding a weird deja vu with all of this, like, dual screen phone stuff, just given that Nintendo has been making dual stream devices for well over a decade, and if anything are moving away from that, and now all the phone manufacturers are like, wait, we can make devices with two screens. It's like, it's not overly impressed.
If you can get me like an iPad that folds into sort of like an iPad mini out into an iPad regular, that sort of size for a folding screen seems to make sense to me. But I mean, a phone as the size that it is now, that regular sort of one screen, 5 to 6 inches kind of size, they kind of nailed it, right? Until we get like, I don't know, AR displays in our glasses or whatever, I think we've hit the zenith. Maybe we should just stop. You know, let's just enjoy this great moment where something's have been perfected.
Nah, just keep twiddling it. I love it. Like, I love outlandish design, because it just when you think that you can't do anything else to a phone because it's a rectangle, maybe with some curved edges, maybe with some, like, so LG comes out the blue and, hey, let's stick another phone onto a phone and have it flip out. I love it. I love the insanity of it. I love the innovation of it. So I'm always here for innovative things like that. Like, is it practical? No. But if you don't try, it won't get done. And we won't have conversations like these.
I love it. I love it. And you know, LG's phone division, you're right, Gerald, they're not the best in the world. But something they are the best in the world at, segue, TVs.
What?
And IFA is just around the corner. So for those people at home listening who don't know what IFA is, Gerald, can you give us a quick rundown of maybe what we're expecting to see from IFA?
So IFA is Europe's biggest tech conference. It's basically, our side of the pond's answer to CES. So IFA stands for, bear with me guys, I'm going to attempt some German.
Good luck.
The Internationale Funkausstellung, or International Radio Show. Now, Henry, you actually speak German, a little German, right? How close was I?
Do you want me to answer that on the podcast?
Oh.
Oh, yes, please.
You did great. You did great, hon.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, it's a big tech show. It's been going for decades and decades, and it's normally where all of the big brands launch their wares for the next year, especially brands that have kind of a European heritage / European focus. So Philips, for instance, the TP Vision arm of Philips will show off all of their TVs for the next year, and they won't show them off at CES because they're two different companies and they have two different sort of arms around the world and that sort of stuff. We'll have like Samsung showing stuff off, Sony showing stuff off, LG, Sonos, all of the big players normally. There's quite a focus usually on AV gear, so it's lots of televisions and speakers. But obviously, this year, it's going to be a bit different. We've got a pandemic going on, so everywhere around the world pretty much is still applying to social distancing rules. So where it's normally an event held in this big technodrome-like arena space, instead, you're going to have a few exhibitors, a very limited number of trade and press people in attendance, and for the first time in many years, there will be no public allowed on the show floor. So a lot of the coverage, as is becoming commonplace now, is going to be held in virtual briefings. So that's where Tech Radar, and I'm guessing Tom's Hardware and Tom's Guide, are going to be getting a lot of their info from, as opposed to us being on the ground like we normally would. We're going to have a few people out there. Some of our regulars are going to pop out and say hello there for us, you know, fully masked up. But it's not going to be quite the same as it has been every other year. It's the first time in 10 years I've not been.
Yeah, absolutely. But the reason I bring it up is because I'm particularly interested. I'm in the market for a new TV, and I'm kind of trying to hold off until Black Friday, but I'm curious, is there anything that we think is going to get announced at IFA that could sway me?
I think so.
Yeah?
The
Should I go 8K? This is the question.
Ooh.
I mean, yes, but not now.
Yeah, I think that's the answer. wait until they've all got HDMI 2.1, all the processing is picture perfect in 2 years. That'll be the time to buy 8K. But I do think, with IFA being online, it is messing with some TV brands' usual announcement schedules. So I'm not entirely sure we'll be getting everything at the time we usually would have expected it. But the LG's sort of budget OLED, the B series for 2020 came out in August, September last year, and we still haven't seen that. And that's going to offer like a good few hundred pounds or dollars off compared to the CX for a little dent in processing. So it may be equivalent to the price of the 48-inch CX. I'm not sure if it's coming in 48. But I think for people looking for like a smart OLED buy, the LG B9 last year was a pretty solid choice.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, I'm excited for it. You know, a lot of the brands are going to be doing their live streams online, like you say. And so we're not going to be making our way out to Germany, but we will be watching online with everybody else.
I'm so sad. Like, I finally got to go to IFA last year. And while the messe where they hold IFA is messy because there is no rhyme nor reason to the categorization of the buildings, like you'll start off in 1A and then the next thing you know, you're in 2Z plus B saw for Y hall. And but it's a great time with a lot of incredible tech. Samsung did this whole like home of tomorrow theme last year. I'm just sad not to be at these events in person anymore. And I'm hoping that we could get back sooner than later because it really is a sight to see it in person. Like the virtual is nice and it's concise for the most part, but it doesn't help convey the feeling of excitement that you get from seeing it live.
Yeah.
Everything we write, it just becomes so much more speculative as well. It's this TV sounds cool, it looks like it does this, but unless I'm really standing in front of it, how much can we trust our takes?
How am I truly meant to appreciate, you know, what the TVs have on offer if in one hand I don't also have a plate of currywurst and in the other a 2-pint stein of lovely German ale?
Absolutely. And it's typical that we launch the noise cancelling podcast in a year where there are no events. And Cherie, we can't get to the same country as you, no matter how hard we try for our first proper in-person recording.
One day.
One day indeed. Look, I think we've got time for one more news story. So I'm going to let you guys pick. Do you want to talk about how the PlayStation 5's DualSense can log you in based on how you hold the controller? Or do you want to talk about Tenet coming to cinemas?
I kind of want to talk about Tenet.
Okay, let's hear it. Talk me through it, Sherry. I've not had any, like, heard anything about this because I knew I couldn't go to cinema to see it. So I've been kind of keeping my eyes shut about what it is until I can finally treat myself to going.
Well, it's the new movie from Christopher Nolan, dude behind Inception. And it looks just as trippy as Inception. So some kind of way, Nolan is tackling time travel, like a time distortion. I'm not even sure. All I know is that in the trailer, John David Washington, Denzel's fine-ass son, is catching bullets. I don't know if the bullets are going back in time, going forward, and some kind of weird thing. Apparently, he passes some test when he tries to off himself to protect government secrets, and he's initiated into this secret underground clandestine organization that I don't know what they do. It just looks trippy. I want to see this movie. I'm not sure if I would have risked the Rona to go see it. But when I do see it, I know I want to be high as hell on an edible.
Well, unfortunately, we're not allowed to do that in the UK, but we are allowed to go to the cinema. The question is, Henry, do you want to go to the cinema?
I'm holding off.
I get you.
And I think this depends on, I feel like different cinema chains will be tackling the problem differently. I think, you know, with proper spacing, you know, limiting of tickets, you know, I don't think it's stupid to go into the cinema, but knowing the way that most cinemas are shaped, like you're usually having to walk, like grind up by several people when you go to take your seat. And, you know, I'm quite happy just watching movies at home for a bit. And I feel like, you know, all the money you save from not going to the cinema this year, put towards a nice OLED TV. You're sorted. Watch all your films on that.
But then the cinemas will disappear, Henry. Remember those adverts you used to get when you go
this
in?
This is true. I mean, yeah, I want to support the cinemas. I just
don't want to die doing it. I understand.
If I can help it.
Because over here, I don't know if you guys have AMC over across the pond, but they are offering 15-cent tickets to get people. Yeah, it's in honor of it being an anniversary, but it's also to try to get butts in seats. And I'm like, ooh, my life is worth more than 15 cents. I'm sorry.
I used to work in a cinema in London near Canary Wharf, the financial district. And ticket sales are really important, of course, really important. But the way that cinema chains make a huge amount of their money is on confectionery and stuff. So we used to get these huge, like, I don't know, a bag of unpopped popcorn the size of a human. And that bag would cost maybe 25 pence, right? Pop it into the popping machine, and then a scoop of that costs £5, $5, right? So like, it was something insane. Like, I can remember one of the people telling me there was 1,000% markup on popcorn in cinemas. So they need you there. They need you eating. They don't care if you watch it. They need you to be eating that popcorn, drinking that watered down Coke, and like stuff in your face. I love the cinema. I love the cinema. But I don't think it's ready. The world isn't ready for it yet, right?
Yep, same.
Little things you can do that are really good. Lots of cinemas have like membership schemes that you can sign up to. So I'm a lifetime member to the world's best cinema, which is the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square. I think I paid like, I can't remember if it was £50 or £100. It was a long time ago now. But it means that I'm a lifetime member. I get advance offers for tickets, and they're like in-house like Q&A sessions and stuff like that. And I get discounts on tickets when I do go. And that's helping to keep that place alive. So think about other ways you can support cinema. I don't think we should necessarily be going like that.
So Alamo Drafthouse, like, they're launching a program in Texas, where they originated from. They are letting people rent out theaters for, I think, $150 a pop. And it's up to maybe 15 people. So, like Alamo is what, like, they have, while they have big theaters, they also have these little, like, these smaller venues for, like, smaller indie movies that would never sell out a full theater. And they, so I'm imagining they're going to be selling those rooms out. I would be down to do that, because we have an Alamo in New York. If they do that here, me and, I think that would be an awesome outing for me and the laptop staff and the TG staff, and so get TR in there. And we, like, because the rooms are big enough that you can socially distance and watch a really good movie with friends. So if they could do that, I would go to the cinema.
Yeah, that's cool. The Alamo ones are great. I went to an Alamo Draft House in Texas, and I went to an Evil Dead 2 Scream Along, which was fantastic.
I'm trying to think back now to the last movie theater I was in that was full, and even pre-pandemic, obviously. And I can't think of what it was. You know, I remember seeing Spider-Man Far From Home and kind of being blown away at how empty the theater was on opening weekend for that movie. And so, yeah, it kind of makes sense, right? If you're going to redesign your cinema to kind of allow for more social distancing and, you know, up the ticket price maybe because you've got less people in there, but you're kind of helping people feel safer and also providing a better experience. Because you're right, you are shimmying past people uncomfortably close at the best of times, let alone during a pandemic, to get to your seat and whatnot. So, yeah, I think why not, right? Spread it out, charge a little bit more. Give me like a full reclining bed style seat. I'm all for it.
Give me a jacuzzi. Like, just go all out.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
All right. And I think it's time for the news blast. Now, which one of you brave souls is going to do this time around?
Oof. I think I'm attempting it.
All right. So for our new listeners and for our old, and maybe you dropped off a couple of episodes, the news blast, basically, Henry is going to try to get through as many news stories as he can in under a minute. He's got to explain the story so you and I can understand it. So I am going to pick up my phone and start up my smartwatch.
I'm very nervous, actually.
All right. And I'm going to count you down in 3, two, one, go.
So Apple, there's reports that Apple is going to discontinue the iPhone XR and 11 Pro after the 12 launches later this year. Makes sense, last year's models. A Spider-Woman movie is apparently in the works with Olivia Wilde directing. At Sony, she tweeted a spider emoji, so it's definitely happening in my mind. LG TVs, which in the UK didn't get preview play, UK catch-up ups this year for some reason, have just finally getting BBC streaming apps back. We also know that Netflix is rolling out its randomized shuffle option to more users outside of Australia. Crysis Remastered gets release date on September 18. Remember Crysis? Reports suggest Samsung is working on its first affordable foldable phone, so, you know, folding on the cheap and more people actually get it. Ben Affleck, find out he's going to return as Batman once again in the Flash movie. Surprising, didn't think he was going to play it again. Zoom, you know, video calls, the thing we're all doing. Zoom went down on Monday for users worldwide, ruining a bajillion meetings. Microsoft is apparently going to be working on its own take on the MacBook Touch Bar design called the Wonder Bar.
Stop!
Oh no!
Nine is pretty good. Nine is pretty. I would, you know, 8.5, but I'd give it to you.
Yeah, I'm with that. That's not a bad run. I only got 4 my first time, so, and I haven't attempted since.
Cool.
So don't be ashamed of that. Gareth still holds the record at 11. We're trying to beat Gareth.
Oh, I'm so close. One day, I will dethrone him.
One day it'll happen.
One day. So we're going to take a quick break right here, and we will be right back. And we're back, and it's time for Unpopular Opinions. Let your hate unfurl. Today we're going to talk about Mulan, and if she'll get my money. Unpopular Opinions. So Mulan is going to come to Disney Plus, but dear God, it's coming at a steep, steep price. Disney thinks that you are so hungry for entertainment in this, the darkest timeline, that you will pay $30 to see Mulan. Is anybody going to do it?
Well, $30 plus your Disney Plus subscription. Which is mental, right? And I think in the UK, they've announced it's going to be £20. So we're getting a little bit of a better deal out of this than you guys are.
Well, not as good a deal as French Disney Plus users.
Oh, really?
Who get it for nothing. It's part of their subscription in France.
No way.
What?
Mm. How did France get that deal?
You're joking.
What?
That is shocking. That is the most shocking thing I've ever heard in my life. How dare Disney? Yeah, I think Disney are getting a pretty bad rap when it comes to their Disney Plus service. You know, they, like, when they released Hamilton, right, the other month, they said, oh yeah, you can watch Hamilton, but not on your Disney Plus free trial. No. You have to subscribe if you want to watch Hamilton. And so, yeah, they are coming across as this evil corporation. But, of course, they haven't been able to release movies like they want to. And, you know, rumors are that there is an Avengers Endgame-sized hole in their sort of ledger from this year, because they just haven't been able to make the money. So they've got to make it somehow. And if charging £30 for Mulan means that we'll get the next Disney live action remake. Actually, no, you know what? I haven't enjoyed any of the Disney live action remakes. I don't want any of them. Just stop them.
Yeah, I want Mulan.
You want Mulan? You're excited for it?
Yeah, I want this. Even though it will not be musical, I am here for live action Mulan. I think it's going to be beautiful. I think it's going to be action packed. And I think it's going to be one of the few good live action remakes.
But you're not happy about the $30 price tag, right?
So hell what? No. Like,
what do you think the price point should be?
I think it should be rolled into my Disney Plus subscription. But you know what? Now that I think about this, I'm a bit of an ass because I just thought about this. I'm like, am I paying for Disney Plus right now? No, I'm not, because I have a Verizon Unlimited plan, and that is baked into my Verizon subscription. So I am not paying for Disney Plus. So you know what? I'm going to withdraw my saltiness about this.
I think the big problem here is not so much that you have to pay for it, right? Because it's a brand new film. If this was in cinemas, you got to think of it as well. Like, if you're paying for it on one screen, you're paying for it potentially for an entire family. Now, there are some of us who are, you know, live alone or whatever situation. And yeah, okay, $30 is a steep price, right? But if you were to see it in the cinema, you'd be paying maybe $10 a ticket. You could get 6 people sat around the screen. It's actually kind of a bargain, right? What is really kind of frustrating is that even if you pay that $30, if your subscription drops, you then can't access Mulan again.
Which is crazy, yeah.
I feel for that it should be a purchase, surely, yeah.
Yeah, I think they should, like, you know, cut the ties, take the loss and say, okay, look, $30, and then you can watch it whenever you want.
100%.
Also, to clarify, the French free release is going to come later on down the line, which makes me think maybe that's just when it's going to come into Disney Plus anyway, right? Also, think about that person who buys it on Disney Plus the day before it lands on Disney Plus, right? Like, what happens to that person, you know?
Interesting.
If they made it a purchase as opposed to like a long-term rental, they'd have had a bit more love for it. But they've shot themselves in the foot by making it this sort of halfway house between ownership and rental. And that's kind of the problem with the streaming landscape in general, right? We never own anything, no matter how much we pay for it. Disney had an opportunity here to kind of address that balance in a more meaningful way. Heck, make it $40, but let people own it afterwards, you know?
Yeah, or give the option, you know, like rent for 25, buy for 35. Like, there's some consideration that it didn't happen here.
I think yeah, they're trying to kill too many birds with one stone, right? They're trying to make Disney Plus seem more appealing. They're trying to give you the movie you want,
yeah,
where you don't have to go to the cinema. But they're not hitting any of the birds with any stones. I've run out of this analogy already. But if they come out and said, look, it's £30 and you can buy it and it's separate to Disney Plus. It's not a Disney Plus thing, but you pay £30 and you've bought it and you own it. If you're already a Disney Plus subscriber, you can pay £10 and then you just get it on Disney Plus. But if your subscription lapses, you lose it. But one of the reasons that I brought this up today and that we have all these opinions on it is I realize that I'm a bit of a hypocrite, because if they come out tomorrow and say, we're doing the exact same thing with Black Widow, I'm all in. They're getting my money immediately. I'm such a nerdy Marvel fanboy and I'm so deprived at this point. I think it's the longest period of time in 10 years that we haven't had a Marvel movie, and I'm feeling withdrawal symptoms all over my body.
Well, the interesting thing there, though, is always you've got an ongoing series, right? You've got this ongoing storyline. They all feed into each other, and you're going to feel the spoilerdom, right? If you're not able to access that the day that everyone else does. Mulan is a story we all know from the animated original. I'm sure the live action version will take some different paths and some different choices, but it doesn't have that kind of the spoiler potential, you know. Like, imagine if we were talking about the last ever episode of Game of Thrones here, right? Like which could just have easily have happened in, like, you know, or Rise of Skywalker, right? And we all wanted to know what was going to happen at the end of Star Wars. Spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen Rise of Skywalker yet, it's rubbish. It pains me to say it, but it is. Mulan should be like this little nostalgic treat, right, for people who loved the original. And then you get to dive in and you get to enjoy it again. Had it been a serialized piece of content, people may have been more willing to say, okay, well, look, I just need to get this in my eyes, you know? So I'm not so sure they've made the right decision with anything here.
What do you reckon, Henry? What should the price point be? What would you be tempted to buy Mulan for, plus your Disney Plus subscription?
I mean, for
£20 in the UK plus your Disney Plus.
Yeah, I'm totally going to do it, to be honest. I feel like, but, you know, again, I live with one other person, and between us, you know, that feels like a fair enough split.
Yeah,
I think for, you know, I don't really know how you would make this fair. But I think, yeah, I think $20 for a rent would have been fairer in the US, certainly. Maybe like 15 to 20 in the UK. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is indeed.
And that sounds like we're going to conclude another episode of Noise Canceling. I am your host, Sheree Elsmith, and you can find me on Twitter and in the Instagram at MissSmith11. That is MissSmith11. And of course, check out Laptop Magazine, Laptop Then, Laptop Now, Laptop Forever.
Gerald, where can the people find you if they want to?
Scribbled on the back of your local bathroom stall.
Wow.
Just call the number. It's Gerald.
Just call the number. Call the number. All of those numbers, they're always me. No, you can get me on Twitter at GG Midnight. So that's GEGEE Midnight. That's from my days as a guitarist in a band that I haven't been able to fully let go of.
Henry, what about yourself?
Well, I don't have anything nearly as interesting, you can find me on Twitter, Henry_St. Ledger. I exist there sometimes.
Fantastic stuff. You can find me at Matt P. Video on all of the socials. Make sure you go to Laptop Mag. Make sure you go to techradar.com to find out all about the latest tech news and reviews. And please do remember that the Noise Cancelling Podcast is part of the Audioboom Originals Network. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Please do like and subscribe on all those platforms. It helps us out massively. And please do remember to head to Audioboom and check out lots of other amazing podcasts, including Life's Little Mysteries. Thanks for coming, everyone. I had fun.
I did too, but you forgot one thing.
What'd I forget?
We are launching a new sister site, Pets Radar.
Pets Radar?
Pets Radar. So if you love kitties and bunnies and puppies, tortoises, the like, our future PLC, our parent company, is launching a new site called Pets Radar. So give it a look and find out all the news for your cuddly creatures. And with that, bye!
See ya.